Okay, so the agenda is in IRC. Any updates or changes to the agenda before we get started?
No, don't think so.
Okay. All right, and I think I'm up to scribe today, so. All right, first up is issue 127, JSON LD API introduction. Actually, you know what, before we get started, let's talk a bit about Semtech. I think, let's see, Greg is doing a presentation on JSON LD on Thursday, so we'll want to try and send out some stuff on Twitter and Google Plus, or just try and mention it and try and get people to retweet that that's happening. Yeah, and so basically try and also Stefan talked about JSON LD a bit during his Drupal discussion. So just so everyone knows, Stefan's working on using JSON LD as basically the data publishing mechanism that Drupal uses. And then it would take that data and mark up the content in RDFA or microdata. But the core, I guess, protocol, data protocol that Drupal would speak would be JSON LD. So that's big news if that ends up happening. It's a fairly long road to get that into Drupal, but he was successful with getting RDFA into Drupal, so there might be an opportunity here to get JSON LD into Drupal. So I think, and also I guess the discussion with the RDF working group last week was such that they are going to start pushing JSON LD as a discussion topic at some of these birds of a feather meetings and just in general the communities that they're involved with to try and get more coverage on JSON LD. There was a concern that there wasn't enough coverage on JSON LD, meaning it didn't get enough, it hasn't gotten enough review yet to become a W3C standard, and so they are going to basically try and beat all of the bushes to get as many people out and reviewing the spec as possible.
Did you already discuss this, Greg? What exactly has to be updated in the spec? Or I saw Greg was doing some work in the spec recently.
Yeah, and so that I think is more or less what the call today is about, is to resolve to fix some of the things that they've asked for and just kind of go over it in detail and make sure that all of us kind of understand the changes that need to be made. Okay. Anything else on Semtech before we move on?
No.
Okay. So it's going pretty well as far as RDFA is concerned. RDFA is kind of, Yvonne was saying that it's just kind of a given now, whereas, you know, last year and the year before it was kind of talked about as this fringe technology. Now, you know, Yahoo Research is saying that, you know, 30% to 40% of all websites now contain Open Graph in some form of RDFA. So that's pretty huge. Of course, and then of course schema.org and microdata and things like that. They're saying that the RDFA usage is the highest now. They get the most amount of data out of RDFA and RDFA-like languages like OGP. But the OGP that they're seeing out there, they're using pure RDFA processors to extract it. So that's good. So yeah, we have for at least for as far as RDFA is concerned, we have Facebook to thank for the huge amount of deployment we're seeing with it. Okay, so issue 127. So this had to do with Richard. Made a few comments about things that he'd like to see changed in the JSON LD API. Most of the comments on the JSON LD API have to do with the spec basically not being reviewed and ready for review. I mean, we weren't expecting to have to publish the API spec, but because of a variety of requirements that the RDF working group felt needed to be there, we're going to publish the RDF, or sorry, the JSON-LD API as well, which is not a bad thing. That means that we don't have to look for another working group to publish it.
Is it in this issue or in the issue 125 that we'll discuss specifically if we're to publish the entire API to get the conversion document ready, or if we can split that out somehow?
You mean splitting out the framing stuff or splitting out the to and from RDF?
The to and from RDF. Well, either one of them, just separating them so that we have one document to explain the from and to our RDF, to have that in isolation.
So we don't have to separate the to and from RDF anymore. They have agreed to publish the spec, the JSON-LD API spec, as long as we just break framing out, because we're still kind of discussing framing, and they didn't want any kind of blocker in there. And most of the group felt perfectly fine with the rest of the JSON-LD API. It's kind of how we designed the specs to be published anyway, and reworking them into some other form is, you know, it would just be time-consuming, and we'd be doing it only because of kind of weird issues with the way the RDF working group wants things to be published. So for right now, we just publish the JSON-LD API spec, and we take framing out and put it in a separate spec, and we should be good.
All right.
Is this Francois?
Yes, sorry for being late. Yes.
No problem. No problem. Working group. Okay. So, all right. So let's go down the list of changes that they've asked for, and I think this is really most of these changes are editorial. This is Richard Saganiak has asked for these changes. So the first up is he wants basically an introduction to the basic API functionality with simple code examples. I think that's a no-brainer. We should probably just do that. Any objections to adding an introduction? I wouldn't think that there would be, but good to ask. Or any thoughts on this?
No, I think we should do anyway. I mean, otherwise it's a bit opaque to understand what's going on in those algorithms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the you know, and then of course having examples of converting to and from JSON-LD and or RDF to JSON-LD and JSON-LD to RDF, kind of round tripping example. So, of course, I think that just goes along with the basic code examples. The other thing that we should probably mention is that Dave Longley added a mechanism that allows you to go from RDFA to JSON-LD and from JSON-LD back to RDF using the RDFA API, using the Green Turtle implementation, which is kind of neat, because you can basically just using the Green Turtle spec, the Green Turtle processor, RDFA processor, you can lift data from the page and put it directly into a JSON-LD data structure, programmatic data structure. So basically, you pass the document.data object to the JSON-LD JS script, and it'll just do the conversion automatically. So that was kind of neat, I think. But I don't know. I don't think that's something that we want to put in the introduction. That's kind of an experimental feature, and just mentioning it because you guys might be interested in playing around with it. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
I don't know if you got a chance to look at my previous.
Mm-hmm.
For the previous telecon, I didn't have time, so I mailed some links to some code I've toyed around with. I haven't had any time to either continue with that or look at the real stuff that you're talking about. But I think that somehow considering the idea of objectify, if you recall that, let me see if I can make this succinct. I think that when I've parsed, well, any kind of RDF and wanted to use that, I found that using a JSON LD context is very valuable in order to make it easy to work with the objects. This is very similar to the notion of a projection in the RDFA API. They sort of work the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are based on the same IDs from us, all of us. But the thing is that I think that given that you're already in a programmatic context, having a way to get an object graph back where we have the interconnections already in place is so valuable that we should somehow consider this for the RDF API. I think that it's easier to consume data which is linked this way than to use framing in the general case. I think that framing has very useful features for other kinds of scenarios, but when you want to use the data programmatically, I think that the Objectify ID is so valuable that we should consider it fairly soon.
So are you saying, at some point in there you said we should consider this for the RDFA API? Did you mean the RDFA API or the JSON-LD API?
I mean the JSON-LD API, because I think that if we get this in a simple way in the JSON-LD API, that I think that what we would then have is a very nice way of working generally with RDF using JSON-LD concepts, specifically the context. Any kind of, at least in the dynamic languages, any kind of mapper scenario that I've encountered, and I've toyed with this for many years now, have always converged on the same IDs, which is realized by combining a context with the Objectify method.
Right. I think it's certainly something that we'd want to explore, anything that makes it easier to work with this stuff, and I agree with you that, you know, having something in a native programmatic, you know, mechanism would be great. I guess the thing we're missing right now is a solid kind of proposal use case on how this would work. And I know that at least we're pretty busy at Digital Bazaar getting the web payments commercialization stuff done. So this wouldn't be a high priority for us in the next, you know, 3 to 6 months. So, Nicholas, I don't know if you already have an implementation of this or if you think that we could kind of sew together some of the stuff that's already out there. But I think having that, an implementation or some kind of example of how this should work, would really help us kind of get the discussion going.
Josh Mandel posted an implementation already of that.
Yeah, he has one, and I have one. And what I toyed with in mind was just to see how it would work to use the prototype feature of JavaScript to be able to just invoke the toJSON method on what is in actuality an in-memory object graph, but every reference is a clone of the original node, so that when you use toJSON, you just get the JSON-LD tree back. And why I wanted to try that was out was because then I could produce this in memory graph directly when I build the RDF structure. So I didn't have to first create a tree and then replace all the nodes with links to themselves, but I didn't have to expand anything after the fact. I realized that it is to a certain extent more complex, but the interesting thing is that then I get the feature of parsing RDF into an object graph where the terms are named by JSON-LD context definitions with no intermediate step.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I think it's very, very useful. We're just going to have to figure out how to... I mean, yeah, I think if you can propose something or even write spec language, I think that would help move us forward on this. Meaning, I see no reason why we shouldn't discuss it. The next step is spec language and implementations and examples and getting people to really take a look at it and see what they think. Going forward, what we would do is we would develop it in the same way that we're developing framing right now. We would put it in a separate spec and say that this is an extension to the JSON-LD API. And then once it gets to a level that's acceptable to all of us, we would either move it into the main JSON-LD API spec, or if that's already a rec, we would just publish this, find a group to publish this as a rec, and do it that way. The API.
What I believe is that if we explain this and approach this in the right way, and I don't really know what the right way is, but I have a feeling that it would be very appealing to the RDF working group, because it would mean that you'd have a mechanism for using RDF programmatically, which is much simpler and much easier to present to web developers than the current way, normal way of just navigating a triple store.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah. So I mean, you've certainly convinced me, and I think that this is Marcus. I think you agree that this is a good way forward. Francois, have you guys used JSON-LD to this extent, where something like Objectify or an in-memory mechanism would help you guys out?
So I haven't had time yet to play as much as I would have liked to with JSON-LD, and in particular to convert to and from RDFA to JSON-LD. But yeah, that's typically, what Niklas describes sounds like exactly what I'm looking for. I'm not yet familiar with the different existing algorithm that you've put forward in the JSON-LD specification so far, the JSON-LD API spec. I'm not sure I get exactly the difference between framing, Objectify, and compact and so on. But that's what I need in the end is an in-memory representation of the RDFA that I can easily manipulate, so process. And it does sound like what Niklas described as Objectify, so indeed something I'm strongly looking forward to.
Okay, good input, good to know. Marcus, did you have any thoughts on the Objectify call and whether or not we should try and pursue it?
I mean, implementing it, I think, would be rather straightforward and actually quite trivial, because most of it is already there. It's just similar to framing, but instead of embedding subject references, as they're called in the algorithm, you would just add a link to the other object. So it's almost all the code is already there, and I think, yeah, it would definitely make sense that such an in-memory representation of the graph.
I wonder if it could be treated as something that's an extension to framing. Or, I mean, we can call
it objectify.
That
they're, I think that they are complementary. I think that they you either use framing or objectify, and they are different approaches to solving certain use cases. The use case I always come back to when I want to toy with ways to use RDF is often to generate documentation for a vocabulary. This is a good use case because in a vocabulary I always have to navigate. I have to find the superclasses of things and their labels, and I have to find uses in the domain and range for properties. So I have to walk all over the structure.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of really highlights the various needs. Whereas if you just generate some neat description kind of structure where you describe a person and perhaps the person's homepage, you usually just navigate one way and rarely more than one step. But in this case, I have to get both from all over the place.
Niklas, are you saying that you would like to walk also like in the reverse direction?
Yeah. Actually, I did that in my Graphify, which I think I call it. I added reverse references. That's something which doesn't exist as in the tree form of JSON-LD, but
yeah.
I added a reference holding object. I called it refers via. You can see some of the usage examples in the link there. I don't know how approachable that code is right now, but
yeah. Okay, so I think that, I mean, again, I think that's a very useful thing to discuss. Can we backburner the discussion for a bit though, because we have, you know, the first step is actually getting the stuff published for the RDF working group, and this stuff is more experimental than kind of what we want to publish so far. Not saying it's not useful. It certainly sounds like it's useful, but we need to talk about it later. Okay.
I agree. I just wanted to get it out so that you had it in your mind, and so that we can have it in our mind when we talk to the RDF group, because they hopefully are interested in it generally.
Yep. Okay.
Actually, we might keep it in mind because it might be some criticism. For some years ago, at least, I saw that there was a lot of criticism because you can't shoehorn RDF into JSON. But given the Objectify or Graphify, you don't shoehorn anything anymore. You just make it easier to use.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there are a couple of other things that were mentioned from Richard. I'm just going to dump them all in here. No, actually, let me... So introduction to the API spec is mostly copy and paste, remove duplication, and replace it with a link, don't force people to read the same thing twice, completely fine, I think we should make that change, meaning we're writing a new introduction, so that'll get taken care of. One sentence for each of the algorithms. Quick overview of the document's contents. Again, that's considered. This they were saying is would block the API spec from being published, but we've already agreed that we're going to deal with this by writing an introduction. They want an issue marker near the beginning stating the scope of the document and what's going to be included and excluded, although we might not need that now that we've agreed that we are going to take framing out. So everything that the discussion we had last week with the RDF working group was that we would take out anything that the RDF working group or we felt wasn't stable enough to get wide review. So that's basically framing. Everything else seemed to be stable enough to get wide review. Let's see. Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, make it very clear that just because we're publishing a first public working draft doesn't mean that everybody, doesn't mean that we all agree that that's going to be the final version of the spec, which is pretty typical boilerplate stuff for an FPWD. And then let's see, the last thing, there are two things left. The other thing that they were concerned about was that the WebIDL, the terminology that we use for the WebIDL didn't necessarily match RDF concepts. So we have things like nominal value in there, and I think they use literal or some other mechanism.
Lexical.
There are a couple of concerns here. In some cases, using the RDF concepts terminology is fine. In other cases, at least I'm concerned that we might confuse web developers that are using the API because they might be used to words that are not as technical. They don't involve as much technical jargon, like using dot value instead of dot lexical, you know, value or things along that line. So I think that there's a fine line here that we're going to have to walk based on whether or not we want. Let me rephrase this. I think the goal should be to create an API that feels very familiar to people that develop web pages, and I don't think the primary goal here is to make sure that we align the WebIDL perfectly with RDF concepts. So obviously, if we take that stance, there's going to be conflict at some point. We're going to disagree in some areas. Richard also did follow up and say that he understands if we can't make those changes everywhere, but we should try to align the terminology. So I think right now there's just a loose agreement that we're going to really try to align with RDF concepts where it makes sense, but there may be cases where we say, no, we're not going to align with RDF concepts, or really RDF concepts should change or allow the words that we're using in the API because they're going to be more familiar to web developers. Any thoughts on this, Marcus, I guess?
As long as we introduce and define the words we are using, that should be fine. And if we are using them consistently throughout the spec, and I think that was one of the critics.
I think that's not quite what they want. So the idea that we define our terminology and we're consistent with it in the spec is not good enough, because we're defining terminology that is not the same as the RDF concepts terminology. So I agree with you, Marcus, but I don't know if the RDF working group would agree with that approach.
I think I agree with you also that the goal should be web developer friendliness. I think that where we have been specific but invented our own terminology, we should replace that with the RDF concepts unless we find an even better name which is more user friendly. But where given if we're in doubt, we should use RDF concepts if we don't know what else to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's it may be that one of the concerns is that for certain names, it was unclear whether we talk about the description or the described.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we talk about the URI, the IRI or the resource, the node or the thing identified by the identifier, and just to be clear, whether we're talking about the data structure or the conceptual thing, resource.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and I think some of the other issues are that came in was that we basically, I think Greg ended up lifting the work that was done for the RDF API and the RDFA API and put it in the document, and that we had invented some new language there as well that doesn't really fit, like things like nominal value. Stuff like that, it's clear we need to find a new name for it, but other stuff like property, not so clear that we should change that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's good that we have this in the RDF working group, because here is the place where things like this should be aligned.
Right. Yep.
But we also should keep our stance that web developer friendly names trump specificity,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
Okay. And let's see.
There was also some discussion, I think, that the algorithms should be described in more kind of mathematical terms. Is that still being discussed, or is that fine how they are described, or? I think.
So I think that mainly came from Yvonne, and I think that's coming from a standpoint of someone who has not yet implemented the APIs. And usually when they describe these algorithms, the description of the algorithm is fairly high level. And I personally, I think that's not a good way to write these algorithms, right? I think you want to be very specific. So, I mean, really, we're talking about dynamic languages, and we're talking about, we are expecting there to be certain properties of these dynamic languages, like we're expecting there to be a hash table, we're expecting there to be arrays, we're expecting there to be, you know, strings and things of that nature. And I think we should be fairly specific in the algorithm. Like, if you look at some of the other RDF algorithms, they're described in, you know, as these mathematical sets and mathematical lists, and you have to think more than you should have to implement it, right? Whereas I think that at least the way that the algorithms are written now are fairly readable as when it comes to like a software developer. Like a software developer should be able to take a look at it and say, okay, I understand how to implement this in JavaScript or Ruby or Python. It's a fairly straightforward process.
With the current thing is that you can implement it, but if you read it, you don't understand what's going on. If you write it really down in code, you understand it, and it works like out of the box more or less because it's really code written in prose.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
if you just read it, you just don't understand what's going on there.
Mm. So that would be that's the problem.
I think that was one of Ivan's concerns. At least I understood it that way.
Okay. Well, that could be that is happening because we don't have a good introduction to the algorithm. We don't explain very clearly what the algorithm is doing, and we don't have examples.
Yeah, certainly, yeah. So
yeah.
We could mitigate by a better introduction, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just saying why one creates a list and then adds items could be enough, even in the algorithm adding a short sentence at certain places. I haven't read it for many months now, unfortunately, so I can't really... It reminds me of the general perspective that functional programming is a better way to describe things because they say what you want, not how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Although I doubt that just trying to write this as a functional algorithm in itself would be enough to explain what's going on. It's probably better to state the intent and then the procedure.
Yeah, so I guess what we could try to do is add this introductory section, maybe add a little more prose in the introduction and see if that's okay, if that works for people like Yvonne. And if it doesn't, then we will have to talk about re-implementing the rewriting the algorithm sections. The problem with rewriting the algorithm sections is that I feel we've tried to be pretty specific, and we have people that have looked at those at the prose for the algorithms and have implemented things that are interoperable. So, for example, ripping it out and putting in a mathematical description of how it should happen is a bit, it's not dangerous, but I'm concerned about it because that means that we're going to have other people that go through and re-implement those re-implement it just looking at the algorithm and taking it verbatim. So I would like to try and keep the algorithm text as is until it's very, very clear that we have to abandon it and write it some other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then the very last bit was Richard saying that the two contributing sections in the two specs need to be changed to reflect the community group, the working group transition of the documents, which is true. We'll just there's some boilerplate text that I can use. That I can use to fix those sections. Let's see, I'm looking down. Okay, and then the other change, let's see. Eric Prudhomme wanted us to say that we're trying to align the RDF model and terminology with the API spec, and he said we should do that so that we don't make any RDF people angry, or rather we calm criticism to let them know that terminology will change so that we don't get a huge deluge of comments that say, please change the terminology in the spec. Yeah, so basically a lot of these changes can be applied or made by updating the spec and putting issue markers in there. And then we might want to say, let's see. So we might also want to say in the status section, Sandra said that we might want to say that even though Sorry. even though that this document is an FPWD, it already has an 18-month history in the JSON LD community group. So basically saying that, look, this spec didn't just come out of nowhere. It's been developed for quite a while in another group, so that people that are just looking at the RDF working group don't see a document just appear out of nowhere. And I think that's go ahead, Marcus.
No, I just said we should definitely say that.
Yeah, and then maybe perhaps linking to the group that developed it. So basically a link to the JSON-LD community group. Okay, so I think that's the entire issue there, and I think that we should probably resolve it. Or rather, we should just go ahead and mark it as resolved. And I'm going to take some time either this week or over the weekend to update the spec to apply all the things we agreed to in here. So I don't know if we really need to resolve to apply these changes, because I think they're just, well, I guess, I don't know. What do you guys think? Do we need like to propose and formally plus one it, or is everyone okay with just?
Don't think so.
Okay.
Unless, I mean, someone, I don't know.
I mean, we are not
feels that we
anything.
Haven't.
It's just editorial.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just to be clear about the RDO, the W3C process on this, nothing we say is binding. So even if we plus one it, they can basically say, well, that doesn't mean anything. It's just, you know, the reason we do proposals in this group is just so everyone's on the same page. But as long as there's nobody saying, I really don't think we should make this change, I really think this is a bad idea, as long as there's no one saying that, we're okay. Okay, so there's no one saying that we shouldn't try and make as many of these changes as possible based on what we discussed. Okay. Okay, next topic. So that's effectively resolved. The other thing is to, let's see, Richard had said that he would prefer that we specify the to and from RDF algorithms in terms of standard RDF. So we should be using terminology like RDF graph and triple and IRI instead of array of statements and name node. And I think Greg, this is a fairly long discussion in here. So let me put the first thing Richard said. So there's a reason that we use this terminology. In some cases, the concept didn't exist in RDF concept. So we started this work like a year and a half, 2 years ago, specifically with the RDF API. And the RDF concepts document hadn't been updated at that point, and we were concerned about pulling in really complicated, you know, terminology. The reason we use things like statement and name node is because we're talking about linked data and we weren't talking about RDF. Statement specifically, we were using it because we were using quads. I think Greg has changed statement to quads, but Richard still pushed back and said, well, we don't have the concept of a quad in RDF concepts. Then the discussion turned into, well, we could call it a triple with a graph name. But I think that that's still kind of kludgy, right? Because we all of our statements, since we support name graphs, all of our statements have, you know, either a blank name for the name graph or they have a specific name for the name graph. So we have quads. That is the fundamental statement in JSON LD. And just because RDF Concepts doesn't support it shouldn't mean that we should have to kind of bend the JSON LD API spec to fit into this RDF Concepts mold, right? I think the argument is the other way. I think RDF Concepts needs to specify quads because clearly there has been a demonstration of use cases and people interested in getting that kind of support into the JSON LD API. So in some cases, I think we can align where, again, I think we can align where it makes sense. In other cases, it might be that the RDF Concepts document needs to change. I don't know if you guys have strong opinions one way or the other on this.
I think I can see Richard's perspective. From what I've understood, he'd rather see people talking about triples within data sets.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that he'd prefer to see something like a triple with an optional data set attribute rather than flattening the things out into a quad and giving the four items the same level of meaning, because the data set would be a meta property and the others would be value properties of a triple. I think that conceptually, when they've been discussing data sets and layers, this is the general idea of it. Because the data set is something else on another level.
But are we still talking about the API signature or about the terminology?
It's kind of all mashed together, Marcus. I don't think there's a clear... So actually, this one was specifically, this issue specifically is about the to and from RDF algorithms and that they should use the terminology that RDF uses. And the issue there is that we want to be consistent in the JSON LD API, so whatever terminology we specify in the document, we want to consistently use across all of the API calls. So I guess one of the decisions is do we want to specify completely separate terminology for the to from RDF algorithm, or do we want to make sure that we want to keep the same terminology for the entire document?
Well, I mean, like, we never use triples or quads or everything or statement like that in any other place of the document. So I think it would be reasonable to specify the RDF API in RDF terms. But that being said, and that was my previous question, is like, do we have still kind of that quad, or is that then an object which represents the data set, which then contains the triples or something like that?
I don't know. I think the changes that Richard wanted were a little more subtle. He didn't want the entire data structure changed. He just wanted what we call these data structures changed. So instead of returning an array of statements or providing an array of statements, he wanted an array of triples. So basically the data structure that you pass into and get out of these methods, the to and from RDF calls, is an array of triples. And then each triple would have a subject, a predicate, and an object, and then the language would have, you know. The other issue here is that RDF Concepts never actually got down to the level that we got down to in the RDF API. So, you know, everything was supposed to be we're supposed to be talking about a graph. So everything in the graph is either a node or a link between those nodes and an arc. So you have nodes and arcs. But we have things that, because of the way WebIDL is written, we have to be very specific about some of these things. So a subject, in general, we say is a node. But when you specify the WebIDL, you have to say, well, a subject can't be a literal, right? That's not allowed in RDF. So we had to create a new data type that says, well, this can only be a literal, or this cannot be a literal. But at the same time, we have other people pushing on it and saying, why not? Why don't you just generalize it to nodes and arcs? Specifically, Tim Berners-Lee was saying, look, you know, this stuff was meant to be a little more generic than it's become. It's become pretty specific. So why not just give the flexibility there to have the subject or a predicate being something else if we need to move into that territory in the future. I know Nathan Rixom also pushed on that a bit. So, you know, I'm concerned that if we get pushed into making this into an RDF concept, using RDF concepts terminology like a data set, that's still not decided in that working group. And it could be that for another 6 months there's going to be a debate. I mean, there's already been a debate for a year on what is the graph name? Does it talk about a data set? Does it talk about a layer? Is it a there's terminology confusion within the RDF group. Working group, I'm concerned about that bleeding into the JSON-LD API spec, because I think the way that we've spec'd it out now, we're pretty specific about what these things are and what they contain. If we change the terminology, then it becomes a bit more muddied.
It was more that comment that I posted on IRC that made me worry a bit, because that's, I had to redefine the API to use something, so I don't know exactly how he meant that sentence, but I mean, I would be fine with using more RDF terminology but just in those two algorithms, to and from RDF, but I don't think we should change the API itself dramatically.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think any changes that we make should be it should be language changes. We shouldn't have to restructure the API to follow RDF concepts, mainly yeah. Because I think we've designed the API so it's easy to use for web developers. And what we found out when we developed the RDF API is that it's not very, you have to dig down into these objects fairly deeply to get to the data that you want, and that's certainly not what a web developer wants to do. They don't care about conceptual purity. They care about being able to get to the attribute quickly, right? So statement.subject, statement.object, statement.property, things like that, doing things like that instead of, you know, statement.subject.nominal value. That's a bit, you know, it's another level that I don't think people really want to do. Although having said that, I think that's what we have in the API right now. So we just need to be careful with this stuff.
It seems one of the criticisms Richard has is similar to the previously mentioned separation of data structure and the thing described. He said that a triple is in the data model, i.e. the data structure, whereas the statement is the meaning of the triple in RDF concepts.
I'm sorry, say that again, Nicholas. I didn't describe that.
I can copy it here. Like that. It's So just as a node is not a resource, the triple is not a statement.
Right. Yep. Yeah, and I think that's fine. Meaning that, I mean, the reason we use statement is we wanted to be a bit more general. So if we needed something else to go along with the statement, we could add it in at a later time. Whereas if we put triple, that gives the impression that the only pieces of data in there are the subject, predicate, and object. That's it. Right, and now you know Richard is saying, well, use triple, but they can also have data set associated with it. And at that point, it's kind of like, well, it's not really a triple anymore, is it? Right, it's a quad. And if we add another piece of information, like a reverse relationship or something of that kind of nature, then it's something else. It's a piece of data that has five pieces in it. But the
reverse is just an access method, so the triple is still a triple.
Yeah, that's true. Although, I mean, you know, it's kind of like if it has an access method, then it's not. People talk about triples as these, like, oh, it's really simple. You know, it's just three pieces of information, and the thing is that it's not just three pieces of information anymore. If it's got an access, it's got accessor methods in it, it's kind of this live object. It has state. It has, you know, more. There's more information in there other than just the three pieces of information.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But triple.
But I don't think that we should. I mean, that's. I've seen interfaces like that, and they are mostly speculative or adding. There's a danger of Yagni in those interfaces. What I meant with the access is that's on another level. That's on something like the projection or those kind of tools for working with the data.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I can see how you'd say that this is a triple and it has this origin or data set. Although, of course, you might then want to say, and it has this creation date, which is reifying it.
Right. And at that point, does it cease to be a triple, or is it still a triple with extra information added to it? And in that case, you're just calling it a statement, right?
Yeah, but in that case, I think that in RDF, if you want to describe the individual triple, you'd use reification and actually use the statement construct, but nobody wants that because that's too granular. So what you do instead is just to group all of the triples from a certain origin into a data set, and then you describe the data set using triples about with that data set URI as the subject, such as a date and so forth. And of course, you can always, if you want to describe individual triples, you can have one data set for each triple if you really want to.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so I guess it sounds to me like what we're saying is we don't see any harm in describing the to and from RDF algorithms in terms of RDF concepts. Meaning using RDF graph, triple, IRI, instead of statement and name node and things like that. And I think in general it's where it makes sense to do so. We might not want to do it. We might not want to make the change complete, meaning If we need to use RDF dataset, that's problematic because, as far as I know, dataset isn't necessarily complete in the RDF working group. But that being said, I think Greg's already made the change. Greg has removed RDF graph and RDF dataset, but he has made the changes to rename statement to quad, so that the RDF working group can have a discussion about it. So I guess what's needed is just we'll just pass over it and see if we can align with RDF concepts, and try our best to align with RDF concepts at this point, and then see if Richard has any other changes that he wants to see made to that document. Does that seem like a reasonable way forward?
Yeah, I think so. Then it's a fairly narrow place where we need further discussion. And since we'll do it within the RDF working group, I'm sure that we will reach some kind of consensus by necessity.
Right.
So yep. I think we can move along. Just one remark, and possible issue with using Quad is that I've seen some people unfamiliar with RDF terminology have described data type statements or triples where the object is a data type literal as being quads, because from that perspective you have four pieces of information. It's just that we don't see them like that, because we see the object as one thing and then it has the value and the data type. But that's another notion of the term quad I've seen from non-RDFers encountering it from the outside, so to speak.
So specifically you're saying they see it as an array of four items or a tuple of four items that comes back in their API calls, or are you saying...
Not in any API, just in discussions I've seen that people not familiar with it think that, well, that's a quad because it has a subject, a predicate, an object, and a data type.
Ah, so you're saying there's confusion when something has a data type, they think it's a quad. And I guess the question is, would they think the same thing with a language associated with it? Probably not, but yeah, that's a good
possibly.
Point.
That might be, I don't know if that's the case against Quad, but it's sort of in the same area as the idea that the thing identifying the graph is a meta property and not a property of the actual thing.
Right. Okay, so we're out of time today. Nicholas, Marcus, have you guys submitted your invited expert applications to the RDF working group?
I did that already 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I haven't, because I'm waiting for a reply from Olli Olsson in the SIX Institute, Swedish Institute for Computer Science, per advice from Yvonne.
Okay.
But
let us know if you need
I should
to push on that, to send another email to say we need them to respond to you or make a decision or any of that stuff.
Yeah, I'll wait for this week at most, but then I'll try to push for some more information if I haven't gotten any reply yet. When is the deadline, so to speak? When should I submit?
There's no deadline.
Submit?
It's open. I mean, you know, if you wanted to join in 3 months from now, I'm sure they'd be fine with it. Although I'd say, it'd be good to do it in the next month, because the longer the work goes on in that group without you, the less they'll think that they need your input. In the beginning would be best.
Yeah, I'll try to set the end of the month as a... I mean, if I can't get anything from there, I'll just submit it myself. I don't know really... actually, when I joined the RDFA working group, I was allowed to work with this during research time, paid by my employer, but since New Year I've been doing this on my spare time. I cut down some hours for each month to work with this, and so there I'm acting as an individual already. I don't know if that makes any difference.
the way W3C works is if there is any chance that any organization that you work with might join W3C and start paying dues, they need to explore that. It's part of their, you know, making sure that everyone that's involved in the W3C is paying membership dues in some way. So, you know, it'll happen eventually. W3C is very reasonable when it comes to this kind of stuff. They just have to demonstrate that they tried really, really, really hard to get one of your organizations into W3C. And if that fails, then you'll still get in. You probably will get in as an invited expert.
All right. Then that possibly they might be a little more easily convinced, since I couldn't even convince my company to donate my time.
right. Okay. All right. As always, I think we're all very, very thankful both to you, Marcus, and Nicholas, and Francois, and anyone else that joins the call and puts in their personal time to move this stuff forward. We're all kind of volunteers that are working on this, so it's very much appreciated.
Thanks, and right back at you. I mean, you're the driving force behind this, so.
Right. Well, you could argue that there's some economic argument for me taking part of it, since our company kind of depends on this stuff working, but. Regardless if people are getting paid for this or not, I think everyone that's involved in doing standards puts way more into it than what they're paid to do.
I agree. That's why a big thank to your company is in order.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Okay. All right. So we're going to continue to have these telecons because it's just easier for us to make progress in this group versus the RDF working group. And then we'll probably all the sets of decisions we make here, we'll just take it to the RDF working group to ratify, and more than likely they'll say okay to the changes we agreed to in this group. We have to be able to defend it, but I think we've been able to do that fairly well in the past.
Was the specs now already officially transferred to the RDF working group?
No, we have to make these changes that we discussed, and then we have to sign off on those changes, and we have to sign off to say, oh, everyone agrees that this is the spec, we're moving over to the RDF working group, and then it'll be transferred over to that group. And then only the people that are RDF working group members can work on, actually edit and put new content into the spec.
Is there any time frame for that to happen?
We're hoping by next week. I'm hoping to have the specs ready so that they could vote on it. And then in the week after that, or the following week, at the end of June, maybe it'll be fully transferred over. It all has to do with how quickly we can edit the specs and get it into a shape that the RDF working group agrees to publish. I don't think it shouldn't take that long. But you know, we're probably looking at about a month for the entire thing to happen. But we shouldn't let the W3C process slow us down from making progress. Okay. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great week, and we'll chat next week.
Thanks.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.